Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm Bruce McCurdy, flying solo today in the absence of David Staples. In the short term, we're resorting to old technology, meaning sound only for this podcast. We'll be back to our usual video plus audio once David returns to action early in the week. But for today, we actually have a win to talk about, so let's talk about it. The Oilers recorded their first victory of the season after a pair of convincing losses, and they're now 1-2 on the season, having beaten New York Rangers 2-1 in a matinee affair in Madison Square Garden. Lots of up arrows there. The Oilers haven't beaten the Rangers in almost 3 years. For the stars of today's game, Connor McDavid and Cam Talbot, it was their first ever wins against the Rangers in their 3 years with the Oil. And for Talbot, extra special because he beat his old mentor, Henrik Lundqvist, in what was something of a goaltender's duel. Also something of just a defensively sort of chess match of a game to some extent. So I'm just going to continue with our usual approach, two positives, two negatives, two stats. And the positives, well, how can you not start with Connor McDavid? What a player. And we're lucky to have him, to say the least. He was dazzling again today. Scored an assist on the tying goal. Scored the game winner himself on the third period power play. Drove the play considerably. And also had some great moments on the defensive side of the puck, which is actually what I want to focus on a little bit. Is that's 3 out of 3 games now that I've seen McDavid making some very strong defensive plays inside his own blue line, hard on the back check, or cleaning up messes around his own net. He was slightly one of several players that arguably were caught out on the one Rangers goal where there was some, was during a line change, and there was a little bit of questionable positional play by all three forwards on that one. But McDavid had a couple of stellar defensive stops, notably when he flew back at the end of a very long shift when teammates such as Adam Larson were sucking wind trying to get back into the play, that McDavid beat all his own defensemen and everyone back to his own goal mouth and made a key play to clear a puck from the very edge of the crease. So that is a very, very encouraging sign. I mean, we all know that McDavid's a dominant offensive player. That's been clear from day one. But he appears to be adding that 200-foot aspect to his game that is the sort of thing that set, for example, Sid Crosby apart over the last number of years, is his ability to affect, influence the game in a positive manner in all three zones. And it was the obvious next step for McDavid. And obviously, he has had his moments, good and bad, in the past, and no doubt will in the future. But I'm seeing more and more good plays from him in situations where the other team is on the attack. And that is fabulous news. He was credited with 2 more takeaways in this game. And here's a little known fact about Connor McDavid, by the way. Last year, he led the league in takeaways. I think it was 111. I don't have it in front of me. 18 more than anyone else in the league. Like, he was way out in front, first in takeaways. 54th in giveaways. So this is not a guy who coughs the puck. I mean, when you think of how often he has the puck on his stick, which is a hell of a lot, to be 54th in the league in that category is just staggeringly impressive. So this is a guy that that certainly understands the value of puck possession, and he is constantly driving play in the right direction. So Connor McDavid is good. There's news for you. Here's more news for you. When Cam Talbot is good, the Oilers have a real fighting chance to win games. And when Cam Talbot and Connor McDavid are both good, that is the recipe for success for the Oilers. Today, Cam Talbot was very good, stopping 23 of 24 shots for a .958 save percentage. Really no chance on the goal that had sort of 2 full width of the ice passes right across the Royal Road that left him stranded on the wrong side of the crease. And then he was Otherwise, rock solid, a little bit of luck, a couple of shots, a couple of Mika Zibanejad rockets that hit the post. I'm not sure there was any space between Talbot and the post that there was room for the puck to actually go in the net. And he did have a couple of defensive gems in front of him, but he also had a few defensive breakdowns in front of him, and he cleaned up a few messes along the way. Notable was a third period pair of saves of just a couple minutes after the Oilers finally scored to go ahead 2-1, when a shoot-in rocketed off the backboards right into the slot, and the Rangers got two great chances from the low slot right in front of the crease, and somehow Talbot was able to make both saves and keep the 2-1 lead on the board, and then he made that 2-1 lead stand up right to the final buzzer with not spectacular, just solid net minding the whole rest of the way. So that was a key moment for Cam Talbot to win his first game against his old team. And I have a barking dog in the kitchen where they're making supper for me. So Dusty has going to have her say, I think, during this podcast. So that's the positives. Let's turn now to the negatives. And we have, I'm going to start with some pretty shaky, shall we call it sketchy, defensive zone coverage from the Oilers, especially in the early going when the Rangers were getting dangerous positions in the slot. And some of that is, I think, just it seems to be right in the slot, somewhere between the defense and the forwards. There just seem to be gaps out there. And this has been a problem since the start of the season. And especially in the first period, and most notably on that one Rangers goal where the puck just went right across the ice twice without a stick anywhere close to the passing lane on either occasion. And that's certainly an area of the game the Oilers need to clean up. And it's not just the forwards. Sometimes the defensemen wander, and they need to work on their rotations and to cover off those passing lanes. Now, to their credit, that became less of a negative as the game went along. And in fact, the Oilers outshot the Rangers 20-14 over the final two frames, 27-24 overall. Dave Staples had the scoring chances, grade A scoring chances, six for the Oilers, eight for the Rangers. And a lot of those eight were on plays where the coverage was a little bit substandard. So an area to work on, but the positive with that negative is that some progress was made even within this particular game. Another negative on a game that wasn't really chock-a-block with negatives, so that's good. I kind of had to scramble a bit. The second power play, man, oh man, they had a chance, a couple of chances early in the game, and then in the third period with the Oilers ahead 2-1, the Draisaitl line drew a penalty, and then after 30 seconds there was a whistle and they switched out and they put the second power play out there, and they proceeded to lose the faceoff, chase the puck down into their own end, shoot it into Rangers zone, lose the puck battle, chase it down into their own end, shoot it into the Rangers zone again, lose the puck battle again, chase it down into their own end, shoot it into the Rangers zone yet again, lose yet another puck battle, and chase it down in their own end for fourth time in an excruciating minute where they really had a chance to put the game away with a goal there with 5 or 6 minutes left to go in regulation time. They just didn't even come close to gaining possession of the puck, and that's just not good enough. But they got away with it at the end of the day, but you'd like to see more than that out of the second power play. So as for our stats, well, I got a couple today. One of them is 100% shot for percentage from, believe it or not, third liners, Ryan Strome and Drake Kajula, who got about each about 10 or so minutes at even strength. And while Strome was out there, the Oilers outshot the Rangers 10-0. And in Kajula's case, it was 9-0, and basically probably the same nine shots because they were line mates, obviously. But that line had a very strong game. Now, granted, they were sheltered. My distant cousin, Micah Blake McCurdy, had a very interesting graphic that I reposted on Twitter about the matchups, which showed that trio matched up against one of the weaker Ranger lines, and the Rangers are not one of the NHL's stronger teams. So, but they took advantage of that matchup, and it's pretty hard to criticize when the other team doesn't get a single shot on goal during your entire time on the ice in a 60-minute game. So kudos to the third line for getting the job done. They didn't score, but they did carry the play. Jesse Puljujarvi was 80% shots for, and all three guys had much stronger games than what we've been seeing out of the bottom six forwards generally to this early point in the season. And finally, here's a stat. 22 minutes and 35 seconds. That is the ice time for Chris Russell in this game. I noted in the pregame post at the Cult of Hockey that last game the Oilers had three defenders over 22 minutes and three at under 18 minutes, and they really only had three guys capable of or playing top four roles in the loss against Boston. And they were really heavily reliant on those three as Matt Benning continued his early season struggles. Well, today Benning was opted right out of the lineup by Coach McClellan. And Russell was given the task of shifting from left side on the third pairing to right side on the second pairing. And he responded by playing those 22 minutes. And today you had a top four of Nurse 24-13 paired with Russell's 22-35. Klefbom 23-15 paired with Larson's 21-32. And then the third pairing of Garrison and Bouchard were each clocked in at just over 11 minutes. So they were fairly heavily sheltered, that third pairing. And McClellan relied very heavily on that top four in a 2-1 game. And he had four guys that he could rely on. Now, if you happen to trust Corsi as your favorite statistic, the Russell-Nurse pairing didn't look that good. We'll stick with Russell, plus 13, minus 23. But by the time you parse that down to actual shots on net, it was 8-4, 9 against during Russell's almost 20 minutes at even strength. So basically break even. Russell's modus operandi has always been he allows a lot of shot attempts, but he contests those shots, and a lot of them don't get through. He blocks them. He forces the shot to go wide. And not the favorite kind of player of many analytical observers, this one included. But ultimately, the measure is in shots on net as opposed to Corsi, which to me is a bad light in which to view Chris Russell. I mean, it's not his strength. But the fact remains that while he was on the ice, the Oilers scored once. The Rangers scored not at all. He was the plus one on the game. And in fact, the only defender to do so. And in fact, he chipped in on the goal with a good quick up where the puck, he gained the puck just inside the Oilers' blue line, wasted no time, got it to Ty Ratty along the sidewall at center. Ratty chipped ahead to McDavid, who pulled up, fed a diagonal pass back to Nurse, who shot towards the goal, bounced favorably for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who chipped it home. So it was a five-man goal started by Russell. He won't show up on the score sheet at all, but his ability to move the puck forward rather than side to side, D to D, or the Russell reset, you know, this was the kind of play which the Oilers are supposedly trying to get more into their game this year. And it wasn't the only time I noticed it. I thought he moved the puck pretty okay in this game. And in this particular case, it worked out to be an Oilers goal. So credit to the vet. He made that shift from one side of the ice to the other, way up in ice time and responsibility. And in a 2-1 defenseman's kind of game, he held his own, and that was a key factor for the Oilers. Sometimes you don't always have to win your battles. You need guys that can break even, and he let the Connor McDavid players, or there's actually only one, you let Connor McDavid win it for you. And the other guys, if they break even, you're in pretty good shape. And the Oilers need a little bit more of that from their support players. And I think today they got it from Chris Russell and Ryan Strome and Drake Kajula and others throughout the lineup. So the game was won by the top guys on the team, but really it was a solid team effort. And I have very few players that I criticize in this game for not showing up. The team, they were playing against a so-so opponent, but it was in their barn. It was a matinee game. It was a must-win, I thought, for so early in the season for the Oilers, and credit to them, they won it. So we'll take the 2 points. And now now they're coming home to Edmonton. Actually flying home to Edmonton. They're going to spend a couple of nights in their own beds and then back to Winnipeg for the last game in this ridiculous season opening road trip before finally getting to play a game on their own ice next Thursday, a full week after all 30 other teams have played their home openers. So it's crucial they have at least one win under their belt when they came home. This first month is wicked. And they got to get the wins where they can. And they got the 2-1 win in New York today. And it wasn't always pretty. And it wasn't a great team that they beat, but they beat them. And that's really all you can ask. So let's carry on from here. We'll have David Staples and myself back in the chairs on Tuesday night for the next podcast. Hopefully we'll have another good result to talk about then. Thanks for listening, everyone. And that's another edition of the Cult. I forgot. In the meantime and in between times, that's another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.